For WAMC News, I'm Jim Lavoulis. The Federal Reserve cut its benchmark interest rate Wednesday for the second time this year, while saying it's prepared to continue doing what it deems necessary to sustain economic expansion. The Fed's move reduces its benchmark rate by a quarter point to a range of 1.75 to 2%. I spoke with economist Hugh Johnson, founder of Hugh Johnson Advisors in Albany, about how the Fed views the state of the economy.
Well, you know, it's pretty clear that they think the economy's in reasonably good shape. They talk about the interest rate cut that they did as being an insurance move. That's not the first of a series of interest rate cuts that will be necessary to sort of prop up the economy. They think, and I think they're quite right in saying it, is that the economy is doing reasonably well and that further rate cuts will be very dependent or contingent upon the numbers as they come in. So it's not a preset course. They just simply call this as one rate cut, and whether additional rate cuts are needed or not depends on all the data that we look at for the month of October and November and December. So I think that they're fairly upbeat about the economy, and I think importantly they not only upbeat about the economy, but they said something interesting about inflation being a little bit stronger, which is something they've really wanted for a long time. They've wanted inflation to get closer to that 2% level, and core inflation is now roughly on a year-over-year basis 2.4%, which is certainly consistent with what they've been trying to accomplish. So I think they're pretty, generally speaking, pretty happy, but very, very vigilant and obviously concerned about things that are going on around the world. Not so much the U.S., but around the world.
And always important to remember when discussing moves the Fed makes or what's happening on Wall Street, how does this rate cut affect the average individual, the average American?
It's not going to, you're not going to see it as a really significant part of anybody's life. I mean, the rate cut is the rate cut, and interest rates, quite frankly, have moved to a level. Interest rates, other than the rate cut that they executed, other interest rates have gone to a level which pretty much reflect the current state of Federal Reserve policy, Federal Reserve interest rate policy. So nobody's going to see a significant change in their life. Mortgage rates are not going to change a lot. The rates at which people borrow money is not going to change a lot, whether that's an individual or a business. No, rates are simply not going to change a whole lot. And whether rates are going to change in the future or not will depend very heavily on what the Federal Reserve decides to do in the future. So for now, I think everybody should say rates are what they are, and any significant change in rates is probably not in the cards unless the economy weakens significantly and the Federal Reserve has to reduce rates significantly. And under those conditions, you'll see rates go down. But this depends on the Federal Reserve, and that obviously depends on all the economic numbers, all the numbers we see between, well, now and quite frankly, next March. Those are going to be very, very important numbers. Will determine if anybody sees any effect from interest rate levels.
There are some factors weighing on the global economy. What's the current impact of the trade battle between China and the U.S.?
Yeah, that's a pretty significant, interesting issue. Not only interesting, but significant. And we've seen from the numbers that both China numbers and Japan numbers, as well as the U.S. numbers, that the trade war, shall we say, between the U.S. and China, and quite frankly, global trade war, is having an impact. It is having an impact on international trade conditions, and therefore it is having an impact to some extent on U.S. numbers. For example, exports are not doing particularly well. We saw that in the numbers for the second quarter, and the expectation is the same for the third quarter. So there's no question that the trade war is having an impact on the economy. I think I would say, very importantly, that although it's having some impact on the global economy and some impact on the U.S. economy, it's not enough to tip the U.S. economy by itself, to tip the U.S. economy into an economic contraction or a recession. Probably shaving maybe 0.2, 0.3% off of global growth, maybe 0.1% off U.S. growth. That's not good news, but nevertheless, it's not going to tip us into a recession. You've got lots of other things going on which might conspire to create a recession when we get to the middle of 2020. But this alone will not do it. And of course, you know, things could change. It's a very volatile situation or issue.
And another volatile situation, global oil production suffered a drop after the weekend bombing of Saudi oil facilities. What's been the economic reaction to that?
The economic reaction of the decline in oil prices is nothing right now. And the principal reason for that is that it's not clear that we're going to lose. And I say we, I mean the globe. The world is going to lose a lot of production. You know, Saudi Arabia said they're going to make up that production or the lost production as a result of the hostilities in Saudi Arabia. And they're going to do that over the course of the next, let's say, 1 to 4 weeks. And if they aren't able to kick in and increase supply, production, shall we say, then we see other countries that are members of OPEC. Russia, for example, which has recently cut back on their production, you know, they're the third largest producer in the world, and they're agreed to kick in some of their production or increase their production to offset any shortfalls. And let's not forget the biggest producer of oil in the world right now is the U.S., and the U.S. has 16 million barrels per day, and that's a pretty big number, and the U.S. can certainly kick in, and they can also, the president has promised or said that he could kick in some supplies from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Well, I don't quite frankly think that's a good idea, but nevertheless, he has said he would do that to make up any shortfalls. So we haven't seen much of an impact. We've seen the price go up. We've seen the price come back a little bit. I think the price is below what I would call the equilibrium price. I think it's not at a level that's going to really impact the global economy, and that's particularly true if we see some of the shortfalls as a result of those hostilities made up for by Saudi Arabia or other means, and I think that's what's in the cards. I would not attach a high level of significance to those events. They're important for probably political reasons much more than economic reasons.
And over the past several weeks, sort of quietly, the S&P 500 has creeped up to near its all-time record high after some significant spikes and some drops. What is keeping markets up amid the trade and global economic uncertainties?
Yeah, I think what's keeping the markets up is we've had a real change in sort of the views, the consensus view. And the consensus view, I would say, 4 weeks ago was that we might be headed towards an economic recession in 2020, which would be preceded by a bear market in the stock market. Well, we've seen some numbers over the course of the last couple of weeks. August retail sales, good numbers. August consumer confidence, a good number. I mentioned inflation. Inflation is a little bit higher. That's good news, not bad news. We've seen that the manufacturing sector of the economy, which is fairly weak, is not dragging the services sector down, and the services sector is 90% of the economy. So as a result of that, investors have started to become a little bit more optimistic about prospects for the economy and prospects, for importantly, for earnings, and have been buying stocks. You know, one thing that I've been mentioning for some time now is the one thing that's been missing from this bull market is optimism. Everybody's very guarded. The level of optimism is not the kind of level that we would see that would characterize or signal the end of a bull market. So the market is going up. Investors are becoming a little more optimistic about the economy and earnings. And we may, at some point in the near future, maybe, get to a level of optimism that signals the end of the bull market. When we get too much optimism, that's when you got to become a little bit worried. But we certainly don't have too much optimism yet. So I think it's really, and investors have basically reassessed on the basis of data the prospects for the economy and earnings, and have come away with a fairly upbeat view, and that's why the stock market's moving higher.